What would you be willing to do for $10 million tax-free? James Patterson and Peter Kim polled Americans with that very question. And the results are, well, stunning to say the least. The Bible clearly teaches us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so they were wondering, how evil are folks willing to be for $10 million? Well, two-thirds of those polled were willing to do at least one of the following, and some were willing to do several of the following. But 25% said they would abandon their family, their entire family. 25% said they would abandon their church. Amazingly, 23% said they would be a prostitute for a week or more. 16% would give up their American citizenship, and 16% said they would leave their spouses. 10% said they would withhold testimony and allow a murderer to go free. And 7% said they would kill a stranger for $10 million. And 3% said they would put their children up for adoption for $10 million. Mind-boggling. Why would people be willing to do such things? Obviously, there's some, more than obvious answers. First of all, they have no love for God or fear of God. And secondly, greed and the lust of things of this world would obviously be a factor. But there's another reason that tops the list. They simply have a lack of integrity. Unfortunately, this has been a problem in our world from the beginning. Not a new problem. 26 years ago, back in 2000, Newsweek ran an article entitled, When Teachers Are Cheaters. And the article revealed how that some teachers were assisting their students to cheat on tests. And they were doing this because money was on the line. In fact, if the teacher's student scores were too low, they could lose their jobs. But if those students scored high on their tests, the teachers could receive bonuses worth as much as $25,000. Some folks won't bat an eye at cheating for that kind of money, or a lot less, because integrity is simply not that important to them. And of course, we're talking about honesty. We're talking about incorruptibility. We're talking about dependability. And today, on Father's Day, the world is in desperate need of dads and husbands who are men of integrity. Our community, our homes, are in desperate need of dads who are incorruptible and honest. And of course, the Bible speaks clearly. And this morning, we're going to look at three proverbs that teach us volumes about integrity. The first one is Proverb 10, verse 9, where we learn that integrity is never corrupt. Proverb 10, verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. When you walk with integrity, I mean, bottom line, you're incorruptible. And maybe you have noticed that we all have sort of come to expect that when a man or woman is elected to the U.S. House or Senate, we just expect them to become corrupt, almost without exception. Now, that's not true. Not everyone becomes corrupt, but that's the expectation. And why do we expect that? Because so many politicians have been exposed. As the proverb predicts, they will become known. But when one walks with integrity, it's absolutely true that he or she will walk securely. In other words, there's no reason to keep track of your past lies. There's no reason to hide your indiscretions or your sins. You get up every day and you walk securely with peace of mind that you're being true to God and true to self. And you are certainly incorruptible. Regardless of what temptations come your way, you are incorruptible. In 1929, a young man who was, I want you to think about this, he's 26 years old. He formed an elite team of 9 incorruptible men. His name was Elliot Ness. Does that sound familiar? His task was to bring down Al Capone's $120 million empire. Now, $120 million in 1929 was a massive, massive fortune. The problem was that Capone had a proven track record of silencing the police. And he did that by simply bribing them. Now, here's Elliot Ness. He makes a little over $50 a week. And one day, a young man walked into his office and handed him an envelope. And he opened the envelope, and there were 2 $1,000 bills inside. And he was promised that this amount of money would arrive weekly if he simply would leave Al Capone alone. Lay off. For Elliot Ness, of course, that was a small fortune. $104,000 would be added to his yearly government salary of $2,800 per year. Ness sent the messenger and the money back to Capone, and then he immediately called a press conference with the national media present, and he told everything. He told the story of Capone's attempt to bribe him and his response to that attempt to bribe him. And the next day, the headlines read, "Ness and his men are untouchable." Everyone knew what this was. This was a massive display of integrity. And that integrity can't be bought out. Integrity is a shield against corruption or the world of Al Capone. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul reminded these brethren that they had put off the old man and put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What changes when you are created according to God? Well, that means you've been recreated in true righteousness and holiness. Be assured that's going to include integrity. Look at verse 25 here in Ephesians 4. Therefore, Now that looks back to what's just said. Since you put on this new man, created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we're members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what happens when you're newly created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And this is also a word picture of integrity that will not ever be corrupted. Now, let me show you another proverb that teaches us about integrity. Proverb 2, verse 7. Which teaches us that integrity always includes completeness or maturity. Proverb 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. The New American Standard translates this second phrase, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And of course, this is in context of seeking God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding for living that only God provides. When you walk with God's wisdom, He protects you and He equips you and He empowers you and He makes you mature and complete. In other words, God completes us. Again, in Ephesians 4, Paul paints this beautiful word picture of the complete man or woman of God, who is, of course, a person of integrity. And in verse 11, we learn that God has given the church leaders. Today, there are evangelists. And in congregations, there are men who serve as pastors and teachers. But watch how Paul describes our growth process to become complete. He gives us those leaders, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, here it is, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. That's why Paul wrote in Colossians 2:9, for in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And again, this is a word picture of a Christian who's full grown, who's mature, who's complete in Christ. And you may be thinking, I don't think I can ever come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do you do that? Well, you grow and you mature to that, to a perfect man, to a mature Christian. How do you do that? Well, it begins in your mind. It starts right here. It continues in your heart. With a hunger and a resolve to grow more, to become like Jesus every day. It happens through step by step, little bits of conforming your will to the will of God. Little denials of self that says, no, not me, God's way. Little inward victories of faithfulness, and many times very little things like integrity. No, I won't lie. No, I won't steal. No, I won't misrepresent. And then it becomes who you are. Although no one sees all the little hidden steps and all the little challenges of day-to-day living for Christ, they always see the accomplishment. There's someone who's mature in Christ. There's someone who is brightly shining in a world of darkness. Listen to me. There is not a sudden triumph to spiritual completeness. Completeness or maturity comes through all the daily steps, small steps of walking with Christ and walking as Christ and walking in the light and walking near to God. And one of those steps is certainly going to be integrity. While you are being true to yourself and true to others. Now, notice one more proverb that teaches us about integrity. Proverbs 20, verse 7. That teaches us that integrity must be modeled and transmitted. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And this verse clearly reveals that integrity is going to be modeled. It's going to be transmitted to others. But not unless you're willing to walk in integrity in your own life. Now, in the context of Father's Day, fathers cannot live in denial that their character is being modeled and transmitted to their children. We're all aware that our actions in life make a much greater impression than just our words. When others watch what you do and hear what you say, what's more invaluable? Which makes a greater impression? What you do or what you say? The truth is, they value your actions as dollars, and they value your words as pennies. And words are not even worth pennies without the actions. If you live your life and it disagrees with what you tell your children and friends concerning how to live, they'll accept the way you live while completely rejecting your empty words. It's not surprising that Jesus warned his followers about just this concerning the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23:3, "For therefore whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do." The Pharisees were deeply committed to accurately teaching God's word. They held God's word in the highest esteem. But the problem was they were corrupted. I want you to understand, they appeared to be religious. And they were considered by most to be the most religious. But in fact, they were corrupted. Jesus knew that people are much more likely to follow an example of a hypocrite before they follow accurate teachings. So do what they teach you, not what they're doing. Because they're corrupt. Obviously, we need men and women who live truth, allowing others to follow that example, along with what they teach. In his book, Living Above Mediocrity, Chuck Swindoll writes this: the world needs men, and I'll add on here, and dads, who cannot be bought, can't be bought. The world needs men and dads whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who possess opinions and a will. Men who are larger than their vocations. Men who do not hesitate to take chances for the right things. Men who will not lose their individuality in a crowd. Men who will be honest in small things as in great things. The world needs men who will be honest in small and great things. The world needs men who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires. The world needs men who will not say they do it because everyone else does it. Men who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity. Men who do not believe that shrewdness and cunning and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success. Men who are not ashamed to stand for the truth, even when it's unpopular. And men who can say no with emphasis. No. Although the rest of the world is saying yes. And let me add that none of that happens without integrity. The world needs dads and moms and granddads and grandmoms and aunts and uncles and peers and mentors with integrity. And that integrity is only found in Christ. This morning, if you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.